From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this afternoon around 12:30, getting going today. Neil has G-Pits coming up here in a little while. I would assume a decent amount of baseball talk today. Maybe you caught our live stream yesterday, our kind of post-game show. We discussed what happened during the Saturday's post-game show to discuss Gunnar Hoglund. And more, they're all running together. A lot of streams over the weekend. There was Chasing the Ring over the weekend as well. So a lot of stuff from the MPW Digital Network family of podcasts. But nonetheless, appreciate you joining us today on a podcast brought to you every day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. You can get the SpeedPass Plus app, download it, use it, earn points, save money. There with all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. Also locally, the lunch special that's $5.69, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink. Go check out the hot case, pork, barbecue, chicken, side items. Also get some dessert if you would like and more. So that is the Oxford Exxon. Again, to come to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. Within 15 minutes in business hours, it's right to the bottom line. There's no hassle. There's no haggle. You get your quote. And the rest is completely up to you. You can shop that quote around, or you can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do. And that's hop into a Clark Ford today. You will love the service. It's phenomenal. You'll love the product. You'll love everything about your experience with Corey and the people at Clark Ford. We've done it a bunch, so I feel like I'm sort of an expert. So again, that number is 662-257-1900. Guest will join us this week on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline, Rafters Music and Food on the Square. In Oxford, be a perfect place this weekend if you're coming up just to enjoy what appears to be pretty good weather from what I've seen. And Ole Miss Vanderbilt baseball, just hanging out in town, whatever the case may be. Stop by Rafters, enjoy their menu, their drink specials, beer selection, full bar, the whole deal there at Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford and also in New Albany.
So, yeah, the Vanderbilt series coming up this weekend, and we don't know exactly what's what, waiting on Gunnar Hoglund's MRI results. The MRI was supposed to be sometime today. However, I have a hard time believing, no matter the results, that he pitches this weekend, barring a kind of a unicorn of a diagnosis, that he's better. I feel a little cheated because we were expecting Rocker, Hoglund, Leiter, Nikhazy. Both those could be impacted. We don't know. I haven't seen any update as of 12:37 on Monday afternoon, but Leiter scratched from his start on Saturday.
I read was it Keith Law? I can't remember who. It's in 10 Thoughts. The Leiter scratch. Media does this for coaches. I don't really know why. I was kind of glad to see a guy just come out and say it. If you scratch a guy because of workload, you scratch him earlier in the week. When you scratch a guy on Saturday.
Because it was that morning, wasn't it?
It was like two. The scouts, there were tons of scouts in Nashville that were there for the weekend. And they all got an email from Vanderbilt saying, hey, it's just a workload deal. Day of. Pardon my language, everybody, but that's bullshit.
Because that means you did your bullpen the day of. That means you did everything.
Means he's hurt.
Yeah, you did preparation.
Means he's hurt.
Yeah. And hurt could be too strong, but something felt different.
Something.
Yeah.
Dude who feels good doesn't go, hey, shut me down. I got a workload issue.
Yeah,
not
something
a, not
went
a
funny.
Pitcher. I mean, this isn't the NBA where you're –
we're not doing back-to-backs.
Well, you've got the third seed wrapped up. You're probably not going to get the second seed. You're not going to fall to the fourth seed. You got a back-to-back, and you're like, hey, you know what? Let's let Kawhi have the night off.
Mm-hmm.
This is a totally different deal. Workloads become this catchphrase word. Leiter felt something. And maybe it wasn't his arm. It could be an ankle. It could be a knee. It could be a hamstring. It could be a lat. It could be anything.
Oblique.
But he felt something, and that's why he didn't pitch.
And I've seen no updates at this point regarding his status this weekend against the Rebels.
Weather will be fantastic, though. Friday, that's 73 good. And sunny. Ooh. Saturday, 77 and sunny. Sunday, 82 and sunny. Lows of 50, 57, and 60, respectively.
all good from that standpoint.
That's light the grill and pour a cold one weather, which for me is like any weather, but
doesn't take a ton, does it?
But that's like ideal weather for what I just described.
So, yeah. Where do you want to start? What do you want to do? What do you want to talk about? I'll let you navigate a little bit. Typically, I navigate. I'll allow you to navigate.
All right. So, I've been thinking about this today a good bit because I don't typically follow college baseball as closely as I follow it this year. So, mm-hmm. I'm not an expert on the sport. I have no idea what coaches are available, what coaches aren't available. I don't really know all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I remain more bothered as just a person by Friday with what happened with Gunnar Hoglund than what happened on Sunday. But the more I think...
Well, because they're two completely different things.
Two completely different animals. But I do think that the two things can be perhaps tied together. And I'll preface this by saying I could be completely wrong. But the decision to pitch Hoglund on Friday, after Hoglund complained or made some note of some form of discomfort, stiffness, whatever the word is, in pregame, smacks me as a certain degree of desperate. And then on Sunday, the way that the bottom of the seventh and the top of the eighth was managed strikes me as remarkably tight, as somewhat defensive, as I'm hearing the criticism. And some of that gets into that same word, which is desperate. So the advantage I have, unlike you, over the course of the day is that my phone has not rung all day with people wanting to talk about college baseball. My phone has not rung one time with anybody wanting to talk about college baseball, which is thank God. So it's given me some time to like really think about it. And it feels like we're in this spot every year, right about this time, having the same conversation, which is, okay, they're 14-10. They've got two series left, both of which are going to be difficult for different reasons. Vanderbilt's immensely talented. If you read the story in The Athletic today, I mean, half the damn roster is a pro prospect.
Sure.
Young players... No, it goes well beyond Rocker and Leiter. They're a very talented roster. He's assembled he's running the premier program in college baseball. So that series could go, you could manage it and play it well and lose it.
Sure.
Easily. And then Georgia's potentially, depending on what happens this weekend, going to be fighting for its postseason life in that last weekend, and they're at home, and who knows, right? So it's... You're at 14. You probably need to get to 17 to feel really good about hosting. That's 3-3. I don't think a national seed is realistic in the cards as of this moment. And you're probably not getting left out of the tournament. Even if you went 0-6, you're making the tournament.
Probably.
So it's kind of like it's back in this same spot every year, this same discussion. And frankly, and this isn't directed at the message board or you or me or anyone, but the discussion sometimes gets a little tired because it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's like my attitude is, okay, we're doing this conversation and they're not going to fire him. We're not really, it's going to happen. The whole argument about are they going to extend him or not to me is so inconsequential. And I realize it's more than that, but it's kind of like, so what? I mean, what does it really matter? If you extend him, if you don't extend him, whatever. I mean, if the program bellies up, you're going to... But the truth is, this program never goes belly up. In 20 years, they've never gone belly up.
Which is why it's Groundhog Day. Because it look, in fans' defense, it is the same story every single year.
Well, in our defense...
They're good in the regular season. Mike's a hell of a regular season baseball coach. He does a good job. He runs a good program. And then they don't go to Omaha. And it rinses and repeats and rinses and repeats. And, I mean, this morning... I wasn't even necessarily trying to play devil's advocate. I was, like you said, a little tired of being on the phone. I had a buddy go, the thing is they're doing this and they've won this many games and they're 14-10. And I said, and he's 1-21. And I'm not harping on the 1-21, no, but at the end of the day, it is what it is.
I think he's Mark Richt. He's a very good coach. He's a very good guy. I don't think you're ever going to out-decent Mark Richt. I don't think you're going to out-decent Mike Bianco. And I don't mean decent as in average. I mean decent as in a good guy. Runs a good program. And listen, there's something to be said at a program that does not have some, and I'm not even doing the scholarship thing, because too many people are ridiculously tone deaf to what the hell you're trying to say when you do it. And I feel like I'm talking down to them at that point, and that's not my job.
Sure.
To change the scholarship thing, you have to institutionally change it. That's not something that Mike Bianco or Keith Carter could walk in and do. So it's really what it is. But what he's been able to do consistently, and I do mean with incredible consistency,
mm-hmm.
is win in the regular season and put the team in the NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. which if you look at the time before he was here, which was two decades ago, so I don't know how...
It becomes less relevant by the day, but it's still relevant.
They were really never that before.
They made two regionals from 1972 to 1999.
Yeah, so now they make the tournament every year. They've made it to Omaha once. They were really, really close. What was the year? Was that 14?
They went in 14.
They finished third.
They
finished third, and had they beaten Virginia on that first night, they might have won the whole damn thing. You know, winning. If I will say this, if the judgment of anything is winning a national championship or bust, it's a total joke.
One program in the country has gotten annoyed by that, and they still kept the guy for 45 years, and that's Mike Martin at Florida State.
Yeah, it's idiotic because, you know, you get into the tournament and upsets happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, the best team doesn't always win in a tournament setting. Just look at March Madness. It's the reason it's so popular. But you can't get away from the fact that they've gone to Omaha once.
And see, here's the deal, though. That's not even really – you look, it is a discussion. We don't have hours and hours. I mean, I guess we do, but we're not. We don't have hours and hours to break down all of it. I wrote this morning. If I'm making the case for why it's time for a change, over the course of his tenure, the thing that would be frustrating for me from a Mike standpoint is super regional bursts. Because you get into super regional bursts, it's just a 2 out of 3 series. Okay, fine. And Ole Miss wins more 2 out of 3 series than it loses historically. So that should be somewhere to benefit them. They've only been in 2 super regionals since 2009. After going to super regionals in 5, 6, 7, and 9.
Right.
To me, that is the fall off. And it happens because they don't win road regionals. Mike's never won a road regional. He's only been in the where he can win one game in advance out of a road regional one time. That was in 2012. They beat A&M, they beat TCU, and then they lost to TCU twice because, frankly, they didn't have any bullpen depth, and they tried to use 3 pitchers for how many ever games. They had Bobby Wall, Mike Myers, and R.J. Hively, and that was it.
I vaguely remember.
Yeah, sure. So those are the issues, because a lot of times an SEC school just kind of goes on the road and wins one occasionally. Then you get hot and you get back. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
State
sure.
does it a lot. You just sort of do whatever.
Sure.
It's those things that if you're criticizing, it's nothing about, frankly, even the super regionals I'll give you a certain pass to. And to me, it's nothing about the regular season. It's regionals that Mike has a problem.
Yeah.
However you want. I mean, he lost the home regionals in 16 and 18.
So I look at it and just go, all right, so here's where you are. A&M's going to make a change at the end of the season. LSU's going to make a change at the end of the season. It certainly appears that way. Let's just hypothetically, for kicks and giggles, and for the record, I don't think Mike Bianco is getting fired. It's not my argument to say that he should or shouldn't. I don't know. Beats me. I don't know the landscape of that sport well enough. I don't cover it. As a beat writer, I'm not as connected as I am in football, as I am in basketball. I openly admit that. I don't know. And I think that's more than fair. I don't think that's me copping out. I don't know. But let's say you did it. Of those 3 jobs, that your job's the 3rd best one. Of those 3 jobs, A&M, LSU, Ole Miss. It's the 3rd best job.
Yeah, you're close to A&M, but sure.
But yeah, they got Houston and I don't.
Yeah, but it's close.
But for me, it's kind of a no-brainer, though, because you can just get more players there.
Yeah, but I do think there's a little there where it's not as big of a cut and dry.
But if both places offer me 1 point whatever, I'm probably going there.
Yeah, sure.
And LSU superior to both.
It's the best job.
Yeah, it's a national top 5 job. So I look at it and go, okay, well, but sometimes when things get stale, it's time for a change. Sometimes when things get stale, it's time for a change. It's the 52-year-old guy getting divorced. It's a gamble. You're stale. The marriage is stale. You make a move, and hey, who knows? Maybe it's all going to work out, and you're going to revitalize your life, and there's a chance that in 3 years you're going to look up and go, this was the dumbest damn thing I ever did. I don't know, and I think that's kind of where Ole Miss is. If you make a big move, where you are, because I'm in the, and this is going to piss people off, but I've said it, I've written it, I think Ole Miss is super over-invested in college baseball. I do. Given where you are, who you compete against, the limitations that you do have, I think you're over. When your two top selling points are, we've got great fans, and we've always paid a bunch of money. Okay, but none of that wins games.
And there's two things. I don't disagree. I mean, I can make that argument for anybody who wants to make it. As long as you fill your stadium up, you're not overinvested because you're still doing better financially than every damn body else.
Right, but none of that recruits players. None of that gets me the players.
Well, but that's a different argument.
I know, but why can't you get the players? That's the thing. So he gets players, he wins in the regular season.
Because overinvesting would be shrinking stadiums or cutting salaries.
Right.
Well, neither one of those do anything either. So, no, I mean, it's a different argument.
Again, it doesn't matter. I'm just kind of looking at it and going, if you make this move, let's say you fire him. You make a move, you buy him out, whatever. I don't care whatever the numbers are. You're an SEC program. You got the money. And if you don't have the money, you can find the money. Whatever. It's one of those things where if you do this, there's a chance in 3 years you look up and go, man, that was the right move. And there's a chance at a place like this that you look up in 3 years and go, that was stupid. Because if you do get rid of him right now, make no mistake, the message that you send is very clear to the next guy. You might not be Omaha or bust, but you're close.
Well, yes,
you're close.
I've got 10 different things here. So let me phrase this to you. Let's start here, and I actually want to write a couple of these things down so I don't forget it. You mentioned stale, and it's a good conversation. Think about it while I'm going to break. Is the program actually stale? And
I don't know.
And I have a point there. So we'll come back to that in a second. First, about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting that knows your market. Also, you get the top leader in condo financing in Oxford, the float-down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Join Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels in the Vault this season. Season ticket packages start at just $199 and can be purchased by visiting OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. And as referenced, Ole Miss baseball back at Swayze this weekend, May 14th through 16th, as they host the Vanderbilt Commodores. Tickets remain, can be purchased by visiting OleMissTix.com. We mentioned Chasing the Ring. We had Chasing the Ring that we taped yesterday. It's up on YouTube. It's also up on SoundCloud and iTunes and all of that. It's brought to you by Lamman's Fine Jewelry in Oxford. Lamman's located at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. It's been serving the Oxford area for 73 years. From engagement rings to wedding rings to fine jewelry, watches, pearls, fashion jewelry, children's jewelry, and collectibles, Lamman's is the gold standard in fine jewelry. Visit them at lammansfinejewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. Also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. It's the name you can trust with more than 50 years of professional HVAC experience in Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. It's probably a really good time to make sure that your air conditioner is running in tip-top shape. If you've never lived in Mississippi in June, July, August, September, and most of you have, but if you haven't, you know it's going to get hot. 662-801-1777 for all your heating and cooling needs. 662-801-1777. And we're brought to you by the College Corner. It's a one-stop Rebel shop, two locations in the Jackson area. In Ridgeland, the College Corner is next to Fleet Feet. In Flowood, it's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's not a problem. You can visit the College Corner at collegecornerstore.com. Plus, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. So whether you're tailgating in Oxford or home gating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day, the largest selection of Rebel gear in central Mississippi.
And I guess my point on the staleness is maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It's hard for me to say because I am inundated to the point that I am with it. But it's a lot of really hardcore fans in an internet community that's frustrated. But they still put 7,000 season ticket holders in there every time.
Right.
It still sells out.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, that's the question. Is staleness is a very subjective thing. And when, you know, last week against South Carolina, somebody walks in there and gets dropped in the middle and goes, hey, this is a really stale program. Nobody in hell would have thought that. I mean,
of course
it's full
not.
And it's bouncing and it's doing all the different
right.
things. You know, and it's – but I guess where I somewhat disagree is – it's not Omaha or bust. He went 1-21. I mean, he got 21 years, even if it's at the end of this year.
I get it, Chase, but you know what's coming in the coaching fraternity. When you let's just in this hypothetical, you move on from a guy that just won his 800th game at your school in.
And in Mike's credit, that's a longevity award as much as anything.
No, there's
else.
No doubt. But let me finish my point.
Yeah, sure.
21 years?
Yeah, this is the 21st season.
Okay, so one of those seasons got stopped at 16.
So 20.
Do the math.
Yeah.
So the average coach is going, whoa, hold up.
Oh, no, he's averaging 40 wins a year.
I mean.
Do the math.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, the average coach goes, oof. Okay. Now, look, am I saying nobody would take the job? Of course not. You'd be able to go out and get a really good coach.
But I feel like we're doing a stats thing a little bit. While that's 100% true, it's still 1-21 and it's still 2-12 on getting to a super regional. In the SEC, any program other than Tennessee and Missouri is annoyed by that.
Let me make this perfectly clear. I'm saying up front, I don't know enough about it. I could never make – I've been to Swayze as a non-media member one time.
Yeah, I know.
I don't go. I don't know. I'm not there. I'm not an Ole Miss fan. I'm not invested in the program. My family's not invested in Ole Miss. We don't go to the games. I don't have that attachment. So when I look at it, I just kind of look at it. And I go, okay, well, here's when you rank the jobs in your division, when you rank the jobs in your league, it's a good job. It's a really good job in a great league. It's hard. So you better if you move the – you know my opinion on this. It's the same thing when you blame – you can't blame Matt Luke for what happens at Ole Miss football anymore. You can't blame Andy Kennedy for what happens with Ole Miss basketball anymore. And the moment that you move on from Mike Bianco, it's the new guy's deal. And you if you just inherit the same things, you do have to figure out, hey – how do we get to this next place? And I don't know that answer. Maybe it's as simple as a fresh face.
And I'm playing a little devil's advocate, but while it's the complete and utter credit to Mike Bianco, frankly, the position of the job inside the division is irrelevant. He doesn't have a problem there. He has a problem beating Utah and Tulane and Tennessee Tech and in those teams, though, in a certain way.
And over this last weekend, for whatever reason, after coming off a sweep of South Carolina, he managed tight. He managed desperate. And that's what I don't understand. I don't get it. There's no
catbird seat. There really wasn't much pressure on this.
There was no justification in my mind. The moment that Gunnar Hoglund, let's just two things, right? One, the weekend as a whole wasn't going to shape what happens to you in June. You sweep A&M, you get swept by A&M, you're still probably whatever. The moment that he walks into the dugout and someone says, he's got stiffness. He's not pitching for me that night. He's not pitching for me that weekend for two reasons. One, he's a first-round pick, and I have a debt to him. A responsibility is the better word. I have a responsibility to make sure that I don't put him in a situation where that could get exasperated.
Sure.
Exacerbated, whatever the word is. And then two, if he's not hurt, if it's not bad, if it's just some stiffness, he's going to pitch in much more important games for me next month than he's pitching this Friday.
And he's coming off a bicep injury.
Yeah, all of those things, mm-hmm. right? But, I mean, let's just say that, like you said, it's the unicorn diagnosis today that they go in and they look at it and they're like, son of a bitch, he's just got a strained muscle right there. He's going to pitch much more important games in June. Then he's going to pitch on that Friday night in College Station. Which Friday night's going to matter more, the Friday night in College Station or the Friday night of a regional?
Mm-hmm.
It's not even close. And so I look at that, and then I look at yesterday. You've got this 5-2 lead going to the seventh. You've saved Broadway. There he is. You go get him with one eye. And by the way, I had no problem. We said this on the show. It's the great thing about doing one of these watch parties is that we can go back and say, no, that's exactly what we said. Yeah. I didn't have a problem with letting Daugherty roll out in the seventh.
It's fine.
Gave up one hit. They went and got him. I thought it was the right move at the time.
Sure.
They go get him, and then but you know who's looming. He's the one guy in the lineup the whole weekend that's hurt you. He's it. Look at it. I pulled it up this morning and looked at it again to make sure, was there anybody else who did real damage? No. Frizzell did damage to you. You know he's looming. And with one on and two outs, you pitch around two guys.
You nibble.
Nibble. and you yell at the umpire about an outside corner, the pitch is outside. You're yelling at an umpire about an outside corner pitch, and that's, he's human. In his mind, he goes, I know it was outside. You're going to get on me? I'm going to get even tighter about it. And so you end up doing that instead of just going at those guys.
I was told by somebody today that Broadway was visibly frustrated with the no call and was almost pleading with Mike to say something. So Mike almost was getting run to keep his pitcher from freaking out at that point.
Yeah, and that might be where you send a pitching coach out.
Calm down.
Hey, chill. It's outside.
Mm-hmm.
Chill. Let's work the middle of the plate right here on this guy. If this guy
was Leo and whoever hits second, and
yeah, if it's this guy and he hits it 450 feet, we'll tip our caps. But we don't think he can, so let's go at him. Don't nibble. Let's go get him right now. Let's go get this guy. Because once you get in that situation, bases loaded, and here's Frizzell, the whole walking a guy intentionally, walking in a run, eh. I mean, you know, you do that and the next guy hits a bleeder into center field and everyone's questioning you forever.
Mm-hmm.
It, for me, it wasn't what happened with Frizzell. It was what happened to the two hitters before Frizzell.
Sure.
Go get them.
And then the bunt reminded me, and it's been 12 years, it reminded me of the Super Regional in 09, playing Virginia, game one. I know Neil has no idea.
Yeah, I was there, and I don't remember.
Jordan Henry doubles to start, or does whatever to start the game. They allow Logan Power to hit. He hits a home run. And he's not going to hit a home run at the same time, but in game two, Ole Miss is up 1-0 in series. Matt Smith hit the walk-off.
Yeah.
Jordan Henry does the exact same thing to start the game. Gets on base. Logan bunts him over. And I thought, you can go to Omaha in game two where it's play for the run. Play for the run.
Because sure.
That's one of the things I hated yesterday about playing for the run, and you and I talked about it. You agreed. Was Broadway didn't look sharp at the end of the inning. You might have to score a lot more. Why are you playing for the tie on the road right here, knowing that they might not be done? And two, you've decimated the bottom of your lineup now.
Well, let's be perfectly
clear. You've already used
clear.
Elko because Plumlee and Sammons were still at the bottom of the order at that point. And statistically, Calvin Harris is the largest double play threat on your team. Now, you at bats, whatever, but point remains the
sure.
point.
Sure. Well, I mean, I said this is a double play
He's
situation.
He's hitting a double play every dozen at bats.
What I didn't understand about it, beyond the stuff about, okay, now you're going to burn Elko, you're going to have to burn a pinch runner, you're going to have to do all that. Beyond all that is you've got two on, nobody out, and the kid that's pitching for A&M doesn't have much.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid at the plate, in this case would have been Leatherwood, has had your best offensive day. He's seen left-handers before. It's not the first time that he's faced a left-hander in his life. And what you said, and I said it during the show, Hightower wasn't exactly dominant in the bottom of the seventh. I mean, he wasn't exactly blowing.
He looked great for the first two hitters, and then it kind of fell off a little bit.
He walked a bunch of guys and then gave up a home run and then got out of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, so my point is, what were you thinking? I mean, and it turns out that he threw a zero in the eighth. But, I mean, are you gambling at this point? Oh, we're good. This guy's going to go mow them down at this point. All we got to do is get these two runs right here, and we win the game.
Mm-hmm.
You have six outs to play with, and you give one away. I wrote this in 10 Thoughts. I just watched Moneyball where they said don't bunt. And if they do bunt, treat bunts like charity. You watch baseball today, nobody bunts.
Ole Miss is dead last in the league in sacrifice bunts. Coming into yesterday, they had one sack bunt in SEC play, and best I remember, that was a mistake. Like, it was my accident almost.
Yeah.
And then two, they only had two the entire year. They don't bunt. Now, he was going to butt Van Cleave against LSU, had Alderman reached and not hit the home run there in the ninth inning. Very similar to yesterday for the one run. But what I don't like about
the bunts.
But
in that scenario, you're playing.
It's tie game bottom of the ninth.
You've got extra innings in your back pocket.
Yeah, at worst, we're going to play another inning in a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not losing the game here.
Yeah.
So you can, if you have a let's say you have a man at second and nobody out, and you're tied in the ninth inning, I still not crazy.
I don't
about
love
it,
but
I kind of get it. I'd rather take three shots than give a shot away, and now they're going to load the bases because they're going to play for the double play ground ball. You knew the moment that he bunted, whether it was Elko or whoever, they were going to walk. They were going to walk him to load the bases to create a play at the plate.
Is there any? Look. You know you're burning Elko there because they're damn sure going to walk Elko.
Of course.
Do you think they pitched to Baker, given his strikeout proclivities?
If you have somebody who can throw velocity,
sure.
That the kid that was pitching at that moment was not throwing velocity.
Because if you think they're walking him, then you just DH Elko or pinch hit Elko for Harris in a minute.
Yeah. But you don't want to hit Elko in that scenario because he can't run.
And yeah, they know that you eliminate him from the ball game at that point.
And if, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind what I would have done in that scenario. I would have let Leatherwood hit. Is there a chance that Leatherwood strikes out? Sure. Is there a chance that he doesn't, you know, hits a double play ground ball? I guess. Is there also a chance that he's a hot hitter who hits a single?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, real decent chance. I've got Bench at second. I've got McCants at first. He runs well.
Mm-hmm.
Bench runs okay. The healthier that he gets, the better he runs. You know, I've got this kid on the mound who is trying to protect the lead and didn't look all that effective against the first two hitters. I'm kind of inclined to let's see what happens. Who's after Leatherwood in the lineup?
It was Baker.
I'm kind of inclined to see what Leatherwood can do, and then I might pinch hit Elko for Baker.
Yeah.
Or that's the kind of guy, frankly, that Baker hits. They're probably going to have to go to the pen at that point. That might be where I hit Harris for Baker.
Well, Harris is already in the lineup. He's the DH. He's next up.
Oh, okay.
Leatherwood, Baker, Harris in the lineup at this point. But, yeah, I know what you mean.
Just understand my point.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of giving an out away and giving away the big stick in my lineup.
Oh, you're 100%.
That's what I'm doing. I'm sacrificing 16.7% of my outs right now.
Yeah, I'm giving up Tim Elko to load the bases.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And losing him for duration. But you probably are anyway. But if he's DHing, he pops the ball up. He's not. He can come up again. I mean, you know,
sure.
It's whatever. Oh, there's a lot here. I mean,
because you know they're going to walk him, and you're going to have to run for him because you can't run. He can't run.
Yeah.
It didn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense now.
I'm seeing the conversation in the stream. Look, yeah, I get that the 11.7 and the whatever is going to would hurt Ole Miss in a coaching search. I do. You're paying $1.2 million. If that's what you decide to do, somebody's taking the job.
Of course.
Coaches are arrogant by nature. They think they can get over humps. They can do things.
And there's people out there who could.
Well, sure.
But like you said, that's really not Mike's problem. Mike's problem is not getting over that hump. Now, it depends on what...
It's very complicated. That's where it really gets into a...
I mean, you know...
There are things Ole Miss does. What's like the recruiting rankings? And I'm seeing that go through the stream, too. Look, Ole Miss should do more in the postseason than they do, 100%, and relative to your regular season success, because logic says there's no reason why, if you're a certain team in the regular season, you shouldn't be that same average Pythagorean team in the postseason as well.
Sure.
A fall off from regular season to postseason is a player, culture, coach somewhat problem.
Yes.
That there's no other whatever for that. So that is an issue. But at the same time, because Ole Miss puts a number one class together in 16 – that doesn't mean that their three-year average is like two, because they have small classes those other 2 years because of the 11.7, which does limit your overall roster, which makes your average recruiting ranking like 15 or 20. Well, let's do 15 or 20. That means you should be getting to a lot of super regionals, which is my point. It's not even about Omaha to me. It's about super regionals. It's about winning regionals. It's about setting yourself back up after those weekends. And if, not advocating, not doing whatever – if you make a change at any point, or whenever you make a change, or whatever you want to call it, that is the reason. That's what you tell people is, I won two freaking regionals in a dozen years, and we're better than that. That's the thing. Like, there is a certain, and I get it, but it can't be both. Ole Miss has prided itself, and Mike Bianco has done this. It's Mike's credit, it's Mike's whatever, that, hey, we're a national program, we recruit nationally, which they do. They win SEC West titles. They're one seeds and host, and they're one of the top 16, whatever you want to call it. It can't be that. And then on the other hand, have this thought process to you that, oh, God, nobody will take us and we're going to suck if we ever make a coaching change.
Oh, no, no.
I mean, you can't be both.
No, no. The gamble you take is, it's really kind of an interesting decision. Just, you have to sort of decide, what do you, again, I go back to my sort of my divorce analogy. You have to acknowledge this part, right? It's a chance that you're not as attractive as you think you are. It's a chance that she's propping you up more than you think she is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chance that you look up in 5 years and you go, that was genius. I've never been happier. It's a chance you look up in 5 years and go, that was the dumbest thing I ever did. It's kind of, I kind of think that's where Ole Miss is, because here's this guy that consistently gets you to the playoffs. That's what the tournament is. He consistently gets you to the playoffs, and he consistently doesn't win in the playoffs. That's the track record.
I told somebody this morning, you look into scholarships and whatever and whatever, and I don't know the actual team, but I was just making an example. So if you go, oh, no, that doesn't make sense for these reasons, sure. But in some ways, they're kind of like the Minnesota Twins, and they win the division a lot, but they never go to the World Series. And yeah. What do?
Yeah.
You go,
It's a little bit different, but yeah.
You know, Ginger, I agree. Ole Miss is not as attractive to coaches as fans think they are, but you just need one. I don't need the whole coaching community to agree with me.
Just to finish my point, there's a chance that the guy that you bring in can continue to recruit and win in the regular season to the extent that Mike does, and yet builds a little bit deeper roster, and they get it done in the postseason. And there's a chance that you bring in the guy that doesn't manage the 11.7 anywhere near as well as he does, and all of a sudden you're Alabama. You're Auburn. I just think both of those things come with the gamble. I don't think there's a guarantee either way.
We're also not in a vacuum. We'll talk about that in 1 second. What did I tell you about Northeast? Spark, NESPARC.com, the Ignite Package, 100 Mbps, or the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford Studio. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband. That's NESPARC.com, 662-238-3159. Phone service is available, as well as parental controls, network security, and more. So find out if they're in your area. They've been installing it all over town and the county, so use it if it is there. Again, 662-238-3159.
Also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. It represents clients in more than 20 states, has advisors in multiple states as well. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. They treat investing like a commodity, and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, they'll sit down with you, and they'll put together a plan that's built just for you at Pinnacle Trust. It's PINNTrust.com, PINNTrust.com. We're also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. I'm sorry, I had a text I was responding to. John's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows him to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits, simply not available to other travelers. If you're thinking about putting something together for this summer, or if you are thinking about making a holiday trip, you want to take advantage of some of the deals that are out there right now, you can do that. Just get in touch with John, give him some parameters, give him a budget, and let him give you some options. And know this, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Blue Delta Jeans. Blue Delta Jeans makes the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they are uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit, hand-tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi. One size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. Blue Delta's been with us for more than 2 years now. We've always directed you to DM them to set up a time to get measured. But now, whether you're coming to Oxford or not, you can visit BlueDeltaJeans.com to get measured by their new virtual tailor and design your very own jeans. Just for our podcast listeners, enter discount code REBELGROVE. It's all lowercase, REBELGROVE, at checkout. Get 10% off your order. They're the most comfortable jeans I've worn. You'll feel the same way when you get yours from Blue Delta Jeans.
Yeah, somebody mentioned South Carolina. No, I mean, they're the example of one coach really making a program. I mean, look at Ray Tanner. He went to Omaha 3-4 times in his first 6-8 years, and then he goes on that run there late. He wins the national championship in 10-11 and then plays for it in 12. So 3 years in a row, he retires. Chad Holbrook was fine. I don't think he ever even got him back to Omaha in his 3 or 4 years. He got to a super regional a couple times, and I think that was it. And then they're a good program under Mark Kingston, but they have not been able to find the Ray Tanner level of success or anything near it. So, I mean, there are examples of that happening.
Sure.
You know, and he went to a super regional in his first year, but then has struggled since then. My point, though, is also landscape changing a little bit. I think there are going to be two openings in the SEC West this year. I think, well, I don't think. Rob Childers is out at Texas A&M. There's no doubt about that. And then I think Paul Maneri is likely out at LSU. I think he retires at the end of the year.
That's what it sounds like.
I do think it's a little bit mutual. Matt mentioned the neck issues, heard a little more about, you know, not necessarily like alive health, but just his ability to get around is not as good as it has been in the past. And it's a demanding job. So, you know,
Paul's been doing it a while.
What do those programs look like? Because, you know, you look at the West right now, Mississippi State and Arkansas are the consistent teams that are the biggest pains in the tail. LSU obviously is a hell of a program, but they have the ability to kind of be average at times over the last whatever years. And Ole Miss has played A&M well, and A&M has not been a pain to Ole Miss. A&M has been down for the majority of the time they've been in the SEC West relative to other SEC West schools. So I guess the point is, if those two teams elevate, it does make it a hell of a lot harder all of a sudden when you're talking about, you know, and who they're going to hire. I mean, I have no idea who LSU goes after. I think they make some big names say no before they move down the list. And now, again, a lot of times those big names do say no in college baseball, but I think that's the case.
The Mulkey hire is probably a little bit of indicative of where they're headed.
As long as someone says yes.
As they say yes.
Yeah. You know, Texas tried to do that and got told no like 11 times. I mean, it became a disaster before they ended up with David Pierce out of Tulane. Because McDonald told Texas no. O'Sullivan told Texas no. There was 3 or 4 there during that.
Where's O'Sullivan?
Florida.
Okay.
You know, I mean, frankly, Jim Schlossnagel told State no. You know, you wonder if an A&M could pull a Tim Tadlock out of Texas Tech. I don't know. Something like that.
Money talks.
Yeah, they haven't. I think Tadlock's from there, but anyway. Point being, though, is at the end of this year, there's going to be some shuffling and some changes and some things that change the complexion of the division and of the league, and you got to make sure that whether it's Mike for the next 8 years or not Mike or whatever the decision is, that's Keith's decision here is, A, what are we trying to be?
Right.
A. And then two, how do we get there? What does that look like? I mean, because right now he knows that the sport is not going to lose money. As of now, fans show up. They sell tons of season tickets. Mm-hmm. They're going to lead the country in attendance this year. They'd be number 3 even without the COVID restrictions behind LSU and Mississippi State if everybody was full and all attended and all those different things. Mm-hmm. And he knows, and look, this is not nothing. He puts his head on the pillow every night and doesn't spend 1 second worried about his baseball team. From a compliance, discipline, academics, anything.
Sure.
I mean, you know, even the harshest critic would say Mike Bianco is a 9.5 running a program, and then put him anywhere you want to on the game management scale lower than that. And that's what it is. So,
yeah, he's kind of the opposite. I won't name names, but there's a football coach who's I've talked to people about before who said game day, this guy's one of the best 3 or 4 in the country. The other 6 days, this guy's one of the worst 3 or 4 in the country. I'm not saying Mike's one of the worst three or four, but in terms of running your program, he's excellent at all of that stuff. And there's a lot to be said for that. A whole lot. I mean, they don't have scandal and
nothing.
They don't have academic crap.
Nothing.
Nothing.
He runs his own budget pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sort of. And even has a good reputation for the way he handles kids, cuts kids, handles that 35-man roster where there's a couple coaches in the league that are pretty rough on that.
There's a guy in Fayetteville.
Oh, yeah. No,
brings about 60 in.
Cuts at 35.
Brings about 60 in. Just slashes. Cutthroat.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, nobody's writing about it. Nobody's a mean. It is what it is.
But you do. You got to figure out who you want to be. What is it that you want to be?
Yeah. If you can't get it all, what do you want? If you're not going to be just, by God, we're 20-10 every year. We're going to Omaha every year. What are we doing?
Because walking in the door and going, here's what I want. I want the same scholarship deal that Arkansas's got. I want the same scholarship deal that Florida's got, that Georgia's got. Well, you're not getting that. So what do you want to be?
You're purposefully missing my point, Chet. I know you're mad, but
yeah, Chet. I mean this respectfully. You're so emotional about this that you can't be rational.
Look,
I mean, just your red and blue glasses are just fogged over.
And it's hard to say what I mean. I don't know what. And again, I don't think Mike's getting fired this year. I don't, in any stretch of the imagination.
Whether he should or
shouldn't,
is another argument.
They're 14-10 and ranked 16th in the country at the moment. I just don't see it.
Yeah. No, they could
and
go
I get
three,
that's not the point.
They could go 3-3 and they're hosting a regional.
Here's what's funny about that. And I can make arguments for both his decisions, and I can go the other way and go, I wouldn't have done that for these reasons. Keith is a bit of a wild card, though, to this point, from judging by his track record on what you do, because in 19, Mike had probably the best late-season coaching job of his career. They lose those first two to Tennessee. They seem dead in the water. Mike picks them up. They win the finale. They go to Hoover and go on a run. They win a regional, and they end up in game three of a super regional where, who knows, on one day, you're 24 outs from Omaha because they're winning after the first inning. Doesn't extend him after that. So you're talking about the 18 year where they were a national seed, lose the Tennessee Tech regional, and then 19, they get to the super but didn't have a great regular season to get there, not extended. In 20, they're 16-1, they're ranked whatever they were. COVID hits it. He does extend him back out. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can make arguments both ways.
Like I said,
but even beyond money, that's votes of confidence or votes of no confidence. I mean,
sure.
Because in baseball is a little different. That 3-year thing, like the kids are committing when they're in like 7th grade anyway. So
they're literally committing as 9th graders.
Yeah.
I would argue that you either make a move or you extend. Maybe you can work out some sort of language in the contract or whatever, but I'm consistent on this. It was to me, it was the mistake that they made with Kennedy years ago. You don't do that publicly. Just extend the coach. Maybe you change some of the language in the contract, whatever the case may be. Maybe you end up having to eat some money on the other side, whatever the case is. You either make a move or you don't. At this level, your guy's either your guy and you want publicly for it to appear that he's your guy, or he's not your guy. You don't want to dance in the middle of that.
Tim Tadlock is a very good baseball coach. Yes, he's an upgrade over Rob Childers. Tech is probably, from a resource standpoint, a very similar job to Ole Miss, is my guess. I would put those in just one or the other in a couple different ways of what that job is. Because they're out in the middle of nowhere in Lubbock.
Yeah.
It's a bigger place, obviously, but nonetheless. But, you know, Ole Miss hasn't taken advantage of Memphis as well as it did early in the tenure. A lot of reasons for that. I mean, I'm not going into a big politics discussion at the moment, but that's part of the issue, too, is they've lost some of their strongholds where they have gone in and gotten a lot of kids.
Sure.
States, out-of-state waiving has affected them in places like Jackson, Tennessee right now, places
Alabama.
Like that. Yeah, they never hit Alabama hard anyway, though. That's an area where Ole Miss has not, for whatever reason, done a ton.
But I'm saying for state, I hate doing the scholarship thing because it's too complicated, because it's institutional.
Yeah, there's nothing anyone can do about it.
State has sort of changed its calculus as it pertains to that.
Yeah.
They've got a little.
But it wasn't for baseball purposes.
No. They did it for academic reasons. The same way Arkansas didn't do this for baseball reasons.
It's
for
just
God's
a
sake.
Positive consequence.
Yeah, it just happened. They didn't walk in and go, hey, what can we do? Y'all,
yeah,
to make baseball dominant. Well, I'll tell you what we could do. Just hear me out here.
Let's lose tens of millions of dollars.
Why don't we do this plan where every state that touches us, which is a lot of baseball players, right? We give kids up to 90% off out-of-state tuition. Think how many pitchers we'd add.
Yeah.
That's why when people do this, I'm like, oh, it's mind-numbingly stupid. But they benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you don't have anything like that, and institutionally, it really doesn't behoove Ole Miss to do it.
No, it doesn't at all.
So if you don't have that, but it does factor into the calculus of what the job is.
Mm-hmm.
That's all anybody's saying. And when you don't think that matters, in a decision. We've always taken the random kid from wherever, make him from Dallas, and he visits four schools, and one offers, they all offer him, what, Chase, a 40% ride because baseball's limited to 11.7?
Yeah.
And then the other school goes, okay, we'll knock 80% off your out-of-state tuition. That's significant. And often that's decisive. And that does absolutely impact the depth of your roster.
I know he's the coach at Charlotte. I know he's done a good job. But when you're picking a coach like a Robert Woodard, does he have SEC experience? Does he know my geographic footprint at all? Has he handled scholarship restrictions? I mean, there's so many. What kind of staff is he putting together to go out and recruit? I'm getting a mid-major coach, I better have a damn good reason. Like, it better be.
To me, that's too big of a gamble. Yeah, at this level, with the way it is, I'm getting somebody with SEC ties, with a staff that has SEC ties, with ties to travel organizations, sure, that kind of thing. I got to be able to compete right away in recruiting, or else I'm in.
Yeah, if you're going the assistant route, it's got to be like a Jake Gautreaux or somebody like that. If you're going the head coach route, you know, it's the Tony Vitello or something where you go, hey, let's let's ride.
And Vitello's an interesting guy. Like, he's winning at Tennessee this year, but he wasn't winning before, and I realize he's built it.
Yeah, he built
this. This is his deal.
Yeah, he's only been there. He hasn't been there long at all.
Yeah, this is his deal. I mean, he's built it, and he's going to have his choice of jobs here soon. Yeah. I mean,
maybe really.
Like maybe like now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's look, and those guys, like, they exist. You could make an argument for why a guy like Gautreaux would make a ton of sense here.
Yeah, sure.
You can make that argument.
Yeah.
But you better have somebody who can assemble a ready to go staff. I mean, no, barely moving. It's got to be, okay, here we go, because you got to bring guys in. They've been able to. I think. You tell me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
They've fallen off inside the state at different times, but for the most part, they've kind of maximized what they've been able to do from a recruiting standpoint to a degree. Not completely, but they have a couple things. They've been always able to have a core group of really talented players.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. And they always put a pitching staff together. They never suck on the mound. Now, they have a lot of top-end talent. They don't have the depth that a lot of teams have from a bullpen standpoint.
Right.
But I think the two areas, again, not staying on this, I think the two areas, the scholarship thing, and you can – here's the deal, though. You can do this however you want to do it. The way Ole Miss seems to do it is they have a lack of true outfielders, and they take some, not projects, but guys who probably profile better down the road, major leagues than college,
right,
if you will, something
right
along those lines, from an arm standpoint. And those are the two things they do. I mean, they just outfielders are really freaking expensive. Out-of-state outfielders are hellaciously expensive from a scholarship standpoint.
Yeah.
So that's where they kind of lack. I mean, you go back and look through it. You know, J.B. Woodman was one. Austin Bousfield was one. But it doesn't happen that often. I look through the classes moving forward. There are hardly any outfielders in it. I mean, Mike that has become his thing is, hey, we're just going to – it's almost kind of like a baseball version of John Vault back in the day. We're just going to grab a ton of shortstops, and we can think we can move them all over the field.
McCants has done okay. He made a big play yesterday.
Jordan Henry was a shortstop out of high school.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens.
It's what they've done. Yeah.
They've done it for a long time. But that's one of the ways they get around it, I guess, is the
sure
point. And then it puts pressure on that one year where you do have all that money available. Because, see, I don't necessarily love that either. I get it just happened. And once it happens, it's hard to get out of that cycle.
Because you got
to
figure out how you break it.
I'd rather have 35% every year.
Right.
I get that's 105, but you get my point.
Right.
Then, oh, one year, you by God, though, that year, you better finish, like, first in the country. Like, you
right
better get everybody you think you can get, and then we'll just piece it and go and do what you can do. And it's a complicated deal. It
creates roster holes.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And you get that year where, oh, this guy's coming back, and this guy's coming back, and this guy's leaving, or this guy gets hurt, and suddenly going, I don't know what we're doing.
This year.
Some of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, you don't know what it looks like. But, no, it's – I come back to it as we kind of get off the topic, or at least whatever we're talking about next. They got to decide who they are, what's good enough. Because I do think there's some give and take here. I barring something we haven't seen. You just don't see that deal where you're expecting this roll off of 4 and 6 years or something like that, because it hasn't happened. I have no reason to believe that that's.
And then here's the elephant in the room. Because it gets mentioned here, and I was trying to decide whether I even wanted to go there. State's got this young. It's still new. It's still fresh, and it looks like he's a really good fit.
I love Chris Lemonis as a coach,
and so
I do.
That's ratcheted the pressure up. Because they look like a national team again.
Yeah, I want to see what they look. I mean, frankly, they've got more help now. And then, two, I want to see kind of how his maturation goes as a coach. If he stays this uber analytical, if he kind of backs off that. I'm curious what Lemonis looks like in 5 years versus today. Because, if anything, I think he's too analytical for college baseball right now. So I want to kind of see what his progression is as he matures and goes through this a little bit.
How old's he?
It's his second job, but I don't know how old he is. He was in Indiana for a little while, and then he was with Dan before that as his assistant at Louisville.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know what his, you know, I mean, said he runs a very, from a program standpoint, he runs a system that's very similar to Mike. It's eerily similar. You know, game days and whatnot and whatever. They look nothing alike on the field, the way he's shifting and doing all his,
right,
his stuff. I mean, It's almost kind of.
He probably would not have bunted.
No, he. Well, that's what. it's why if either way, because like I said, Mike used to dominate State in Starkville a lot.
Sure.
Like the point would be either way. I mean, I know everybody's bristling and going, "Oh no, he's losing." I get it.
Yeah, sure.
But either way,
well, notice I did not mention head to head.
Yeah, no. But my point is head to head. Even so, though, more than what you're talking about. Is that they look so different on the field,
right,
that if either side,
right,
goes on some streak, the other side looks like morons because they're coaching completely differently.
Right, right, right.
I mean, it's just.
Well, that's why I was careful not to even go to the head-to-head thing, because you probably could find that. I don't follow it closely enough to know, but I guarantee you there's another example somewhere in the league where someone dominates head-to-head.
Somebody's done well against Lemonis, and it, yeah.
And whatever. You're like, yeah, wait, there's no real way to explain that. It just sort of is, yeah.
So. Podcast brought to you in part by Visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com. Go to the events page. See what's going on locally with a home baseball weekend this weekend. Double-decker bus tours Friday at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock. As Neil mentioned, the weather is fantastic. So you get on the top story of the double-decker bus. Go around. Take the tour. Done it recently. Learned some things that I didn't know, even though I've been living here for closing in on 20 years here before too terribly long. So take advantage of that. You can call over at Visit Oxford to go online, see the event schedule again. Visit OxfordMS.com.
We're also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits stay right here in the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. No 10 buttons to push, no 5 minutes to wait. If you want to learn more about OUB, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. We're also brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. She sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. You can get in touch with her at 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. And we're brought to you by Bain, Moss & Bowen, located in historic downtown Corinth. Their firm practices a wider range of law, from DUI defense to car wrecks to representing government entities. Bain, Moss & Bowen is the only firm in Mississippi made up of a sitting state legislator, a former assistant district attorney, and a former circuit court judge. Their experience is unmatched in that regard, and you can tap into it by visiting them at 618 East Waldron Street in Corinth or by calling them at 662-287-1620. And brought to you by Alpha Specialties, located at 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. They are the premier trailer-specific dealership in Mississippi. They've got Load Trail. It's the premium brand trailer, the highest quality utility equipment, dump, and gooseneck trailer being built today. Fully primed and powder-coated, Load Trail trailers come with an industry-leading 3-year warranty and 2 years of roadside assistance. They also have Hallmark cargo trailers, spare tires and wheels, starting at just $100, a full selection of trailer parts and accessories, and they've got a full service shop where podcast listeners can get 10% off a yearly trailer service and inspection just by giving them a call at 601-932-9798. or alphaofms.com. And we're brought to you by The Rogue. The Rogue, kind enough to sponsor our game day watch parties. They're also your destination for fine men's clothing. Their stylist hand select pieces from the top designers, from work to lifestyle to nightlife. It's the perfect something for everyone. The Rogue has all the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, True Grit, Duckhead, and more. Get in touch with them at 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or at therogue.com. And brought to you by Joey Erickson at Heron Gear Chevrolet. Let Joey help you find the vehicle you're looking for at a price you can afford. Choose from a full selection of new Chevy vehicles. Get a great deal on numerous brands of pre-owned vehicles. And just give Joey a call, 662-571-2367. Tell him what you're looking for. Or stop by 1685 High Street in Jackson. Test drive that new or used vehicle you've been wanting and let him earn your business. And be sure to tell him that you heard about this ad on the Oxford Exxon podcast or the Soft Verbal podcast. And with any purchased vehicle, you'll get a $50 gas card.
I guess people might be interested. Anybody who read my profile on Julia Johnson, the Ole Miss women's golfer, the first round of the Baton Rouge Regional was rained out today. Storms coming through there. We got pretty good ones last night here in our area as well. So they're trying to do a shotgun start at 10 a.m. in the morning in Baton Rouge for day one of that regional. I think it's three rounds, and after three rounds, six teams will advance to the national championships. I believe those championships are in Arizona, if I have that right, somewhere out west. But anyway, so Ole Miss Women's Golf, the two seed in that regional, will get started tomorrow at some point, assuming the rain is out of here. Yeah, I heard hail at one point last night.
Oh, yeah?
It was worse on this side of town than my side of town, but
it rolled through pretty strong there for a few minutes.
Looked out the window a couple times, and it was not like last week when, I mean, that was the damnedest thing I've ever seen for about 45 minutes. But it was pretty rough. I left Neil's last Thursday whenever we had the 3.5, 4 inches or whatever it was in like 45 minutes when. The off ramp and on ramp at 7 and 6 were flooding and people could not get down them at that point. So that was quite the summer shower we had going on here locally. So anyway, what else you got? What's going on?
Someone says, "What seed is softball for the tournament tomorrow?" I don't know.
I know they play Mississippi State, but that's all I got.
Yeah, I
know they got swept by Alabama, which was going to be a tough assignment. But I don't know. I mean, we'll pull it up. Bracket revealed for SEC tournament. I've got it here. Ole Miss is the 8 seed playing 9 seed Mississippi State at 11 a.m. on Wednesday morning. Tomorrow, the only game is 12-seed Auburn against 13-seed South Carolina. If the Rebels win, they play top-seed Florida on Thursday, also at 11 a.m.
Gotcha.
So that is the bracket there awaiting.
They're likely headed to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, correct? They're definitely in the tournament. Yeah. They should be a 2-seed in the NCAA tournament no matter what they do in wherever that tournament is. I honestly don't even know. So, yeah, I think they're a 2-seed in Jamie Traxler.
Yeah, I don't know where that tournament is either. I was in the gym today, and they had the ad going on SEC Network, but I wasn't paying attention.
You weren't?
I just wasn't.
Didn't really.
I just saw that it was on, but I wasn't.
Why didn't you pay more attention?
Because I was trying to get exercise.
They still do it on campuses. It is in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Oh.
They rotate it around the SEC schools.
Scenic Tuscaloosa. That'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm sure I'll garden spot for all the all the teams that are so excited for that trip to the capstone.
Yeah.
They can tour the Paul Bryant Museum in the Sheraton or whatever it is there on campus.
Yeah.
I've stayed in the hotel a few
Have
times
you?
Right there. Yeah.
I've never stayed in
Have
the
you
hotel.
Not?
No.
Way back when the DM was flush with cash, I actually traveled for women's basketball and covered Ole Miss Alabama women's basketball staying at that hotel.
Wow.
The night of.
Look at you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Trying to remember when I covered Alabama, I always stayed at a Hilton property. So I was out at that Hilton Garden Inn kind of off the interstate, I think.
I don't know that I've stayed. There's a Hilton property maybe in like a parking lot that has like an IHOP or something in it. It's a somewhere in and out. Because I've stayed there for baseball series. I don't even know which one it
is
now.
I don't know.
But like football, I'll drive back. Like I've never stayed overnight for a football game. but it would have to be a baseball deal too. I've even driven back really late after a couple basketball games over there, like 8 o'clock tips
well,
going over
we
there.
We were the geniuses back. In 2015 that came back that night on a bus. Remember that?
Thank God they won.
Yeah, no doubt.
As that game is getting down to the end, I thought, okay, this bus is going to be completely different depending on what happens over like these next six minutes.
I was contemplating just catching a cab.
I know. I was in my head. I'm going, because everybody's hammered.
Except us.
Well, yeah, we're trying to. I did love that. A week before, Neil goes, you know, we'll ride on the way home. Well, don't worry about it. We'll get all the riding done. Be quiet. Everybody's tired. Yeah, no. No, it was not. No. It was not quiet. It was.
We did ride.
Somebody yelled at you on the bus. I don't remember what happened.
I don't either.
Well, you pissed people off wanting to watch the baseball game.
Well,
on the
it was
way
at the very
there.
Beginning. I just was watching the end of a Cubs Cardinals game.
They were groans.
Yeah.
Neil asked for a TV in the bus to be turned to the
one
to the Cubs game. Yep. One TV.
Cubs won that year too. They won that game.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tuscaloosa is beautiful. You can go to Baumhauer's, get some wings.
That's still going? Baumhauer's? I don't know. They had one in Mobile and they had one in Spanish Fort.
Oh, that's not
it's a chain.
I'm kidding.
Very chain. Stunningly chain.
It is. It like neon flashes chain when you walk in. Yeah. Like it does. Yeah.
This is not a unique location.
What are the good places to eat in Tuscaloosa?
I don't know.
I really have no like dining knowledge there hardly at all.
I really don't.
Everything's like wings or barbecue, and past that, I got nothing.
Yeah,
in Tuscaloosa,
I don't know.
I mean,
I have a lot of ties to Alabama, and they just sort of disappeared over the years. I mean, I grew up thinking I would go there. That was like my dream school to go to. And by the time they offered a scholarship that I would have taken, it was just too late. Literally, it was the day of my high school graduation.
That's really late. Yeah. Why were they offering it that late?
I don't know. Something must have fallen through with somebody else.
They had some money left over.
I guess
somewhere.
So. And so I found out about it the day of my high school graduation, and it was like, I'd have to change my...
I wouldn't want to change anything at that point.
No, and I mean, it's, you know, even stupid stuff, like this, you know, I just made up my mind. Oh, the one in Mobile's been gone for years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pretty slow sports day today. There's really hardly anything going on.
Supposedly Tim Tebow signed with the Jags.
Did he? I haven't seen that.
That's the rumor. As a tight end.
Is it on the...
I have no idea. I've not seen it.
What's the Twitter do when I search Tim Tebow? That could be kind of scary, but let's see what it does. Bleacher Report. Jaguars are planning to sign Tim Tebow to a one-year deal per rap sheet. So per Ian Rappaport.
Mm, how about that? Mm-hmm. Not good for him.
From NFL Now, Tim Tebow is expected to sign with the Jaguars. He's back with a chance to make the team and help the locker room, says Ian Rappaport.
In other words, they're bringing in some shady characters.
Is that the way you take that?
That's what it was at Florida.
Got to offset this thing a little bit?
Yeah.
Is that the way this works?
Yeah. Urban said, hey, Tim, can you help us with this Hernandez kid? And he tried.
He did. We still don't know a tenth of everything that happened.
No.
Through all that.
No.
I mean, just... rough.
Sounds like the Gators were perilously close to absolute disaster while they were dominating the sport.
Oh, really?
They were riding on the edge.
Yeah, otherwise not a lot going on. I'm just kind of looking through the websites a little bit. It's a slow day. Kind of what we said about the NFL a little bit, though. The top top college football story on ESPN.com. Old school bruisers out, small hybrids in. Linebackers are adjusting to the new college football. So you're seeing the trickle down, trickle up there, as we mentioned. The NFL draft was very unkind to true linebackers.
The 6'3", 250-pound linebacker who can clog the middle is not needed anymore. Yeah.
There is no I formation. You key on the fullback and you go hit him every play.
No, you're wanting a couple of defensive tackles, maybe even just one defensive
tackle. Some rush ends.
Some guys who can get speed off the edge, and then you want a bunch of guys who can play in the middle of the field who can cover and also come up and tackle.
Mm-hmm. A lot of hybrid.
So the fullback goes away, the linebacker goes away.
It's true. Same thing.
The true tight end sort of goes away. It's more of a hybrid flex.
It's a big wide receiver, is what it is. Yeah. I mean, Evan Engram was not putting his hand on the ground and banging back in the early 80s, like, you know, with how that was set up back in the day.
No, it was the way they used Evan was kind of ahead of the times, really.
I guess maybe for a year or two, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not out of the realm.
He was a matchup nightmare for the kind of linebackers we just talked about. Frankly, they couldn't guard him.
See where ESPN, the post-spring power rankings, ESPN had, what, Ole Miss 19?
Had him at 19.
Yeah.
I think LSU was at 20. They were not as it was their computers that had Mississippi State really high.
They have to add the whatever it is.
But, yeah, their people are not as high on the Bulldogs as
– Well, no human
as a computer program,
yeah,
seems to be.
Well, even state people were like
– Yeah. Like, I just kept going, what is that?
Don't really get it.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
Yeah.
Ole Miss at 19 is about right, I think. If I were a AP voter, it'd be the range where I'd put them to start the season. I don't think I'd go much higher than that. I don't think I'd go much lower than about 22. I mean, I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, sure.
But if I were doing it, that's what I would – that's the range, I think. That's what they kind of look like to start the season.
I'm fine with it. Oski, Mama G's is overrated, though. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a sandwich. It's a good steam sandwich. It's fine.
Yeah.
But you also know what you're getting when you go in. Like, I'm not walking into Mama G's and going, hey –
Most places like that are
delicacy.
Places like that are kind of overrated. I mean, if we're just being honest, unless it's like has some nostalgia or something to it.
Where are we at on the grind? What's our Mama Goldberg's opinion? What do you order? What's the order there?
I hadn't been there since I was a beat writer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I went in there at some point during at some point. I mean, I've probably been there 5 times in my life.
We're talking 19 years.
I've worked in the Mellow Mushroom a couple times there downtown. Is that still there in Auburn?
I don't know.
Is that Mellow Mushroom still there?
It was there, I would think. I don't know.
During your heyday, it was there?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. It's fine. It's all right. I mean, if you want to do the whole touristy thing, go get you a sandwich. Go to Toomer's.
Sure.
Have at it.
Sure.
Buy a T-shirt.
Yeah.
T-shirts are kind of neat with the tiger and the lemonade. Oh, yeah, and sure. They're all right.
I'm a big fan of their mascot. Speaking of tigers, did you see the tiger loose in Houston today?
No, I didn't see that.
There's a Bengal tiger loose in a neighborhood in Houston.
Get the dogs and cats inside.
I mean, who? It turns out it was someone's pet, I think.
Oh, really? One of those things?
Yeah, one of those crazy ass people.
Well, he likes him.
Those people.
If you had to have an exotic animal in your house, what are you picking?
No.
You'll take the tiger over the snake.
I don't want either
one. But you would.
I don't want either
one. You would consider the cobra over the tiger.
No, I would not consider either one. I don't have to have one, so I don't. The answer to that is no.
What about a chimp?
Those things can peel your face off. I'm going to have a Labrador Retriever. If you say, hey, you have to have a pet. Okay, I'm going to go get a Labrador Retriever.
There's been no point of owning those two dogs that your life was in any peril at any point unless they knocked you over and tore your knee up.
I have now had 4 Labrador Retrievers.
Yeah.
They have created a grand total of 2 incidents. One, it was because Miller was chasing a ball and he basically ran over Caroline when she was 2. And the other was when Rizzo got in the way and Laura damn near knocked her teeth out.
Oh, did he cause that?
Well, he was just laying there. He wasn't doing anything. It was dark. The power had gone off and she couldn't.
Yeah, don't tell the story. It hurts me when you tell it.
But there's never been a moment with any of those 4 dogs where I was concerned about anything. So, yes, give me a Labrador Retriever. I'm good. Or a Golden Retriever, whatever. That's fine, too.
They're fine, too.
Just give me something that says Retriever on the end, and I'm good.
Yeah, the only thing that Gus could ever do to you is knock you over.
Yeah.
He could hit you in the legs, and you kind of fall.
I guess, yeah, technically.
And he waddles and does
that. Yeah, whatever. But he's fine. I mean, the worst thing they're going to do is knock something off with their tails. Off the table or something.
Why is the Spanish Fort is really into their chain restaurants? Is that kind of like a Germantown thing? They're all over the place. I mean, we pissed people off that night. I mean, I've told you how bad I hate Cracker Barrel, so I won't go back to it.
I do too. Despise it.
puts me in a bad mood. The breakfast is okay. I don't.
It's fine.
It's the lunch or the dinner that I really don't get. Like, the breakfast I can even kind of get behind if I'm traveling. It's my only option. Because I get, like, 9 plates for $9. But
it's like an hour and a half. If you're traveling, do you really want
to sit in the rocking chair and wait?
Do you really
want to... You go browse through the Merle Haggard CDs that are in the gift shop. You buy the peanuts for $14 off the cabinet and a candle. And a souvenir t-shirt.
Just keep going. You'll get to a better place much faster. And stopping there
So why do they catch on like they do?
I don't know. Because I think there's just a whole lot of people who are the exact opposite of you and me. We're not all the same, right? I mean, we watched DK Metcalf run yesterday. Walk into a Cracker Barrel and go, we're not all the same. I mean, it's the same thing. It's literally, I think that's my answer.
Okay.
The people that stop at 5:30 at Cracker Barrel for dinner and go, this is, yep, I don't get it.
You play with a little triangle thing.
I just don't get it.
Leave the T's in.
There's nothing about that experience that goes, yep, that's what I want to do.
So you're not a big Uncle Herschel's breakfast fan? Is that what it's called?
No.
Spiced apples aren't doing much for you?
Just get a protein bar and a coffee. I'm good. Keep them real roll. You know I'm telling the truth.
No, I mean, I know people that like seek it out and go, I got to have the chicken fried steak and the mashed potatoes and the green beans and the... I mean, like, waking up that morning giddy over the pancakes.
I know. It's nothing for me at all.
I do think Cracker Barrel is better than IHOP. I haven't been to a Denny's in a really long time.
No.
I'll take Waffle House over both. Waffle House is probably a little expensive for what they offer. I feel like I probably get a decent deal at Cracker Barrel price-wise, but I don't even know. Is it cheap?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I mean, Neil secretly drives over to Batesville like twice a week.
Yeah, that's me.
Right there on the interstate. And just...
Of all the things that I would do.
Ryan makes a good point, though. Just don't overthink it. Don't make it more than it is. Is it breakfast Chili's? Or is it not because of the wait and the crowds and the whatever?
Exactly.
Is it because too many people try to make it look like more than Chili's?
Look,
is that
I stopped with Carson once because he really was starving for breakfast, and we stopped, and there was nobody in a Cracker Barrel, and we sat down, and by the time he ate and we paid, it was an hour.
Yeah.
That's not Chili's. You can get hammered at Chili's in an hour.
So that's the point. It's too many people make it too big of a deal.
I just...
I mean, I know nobody's saying, hey, it's a Michelin restaurant, but I mean...
Come on.
There was that couple years ago that tried to eat at every Cracker Barrel in the country. They traveled the country.
Oh, dear God.
To eat at Cracker Barrels. Like, I saw a story where they had like
energy.
One left.
What a waste of energy. Well, how much did they weigh?
They were old. I don't remember. Okay. You didn't see this?
No.
It sounds like something would be like on Daily Mail, potentially, depending on. It was in the Tennessean. Oh, this is good. Here they are. Hold on. We're going to close after this. I'm just, whatever. It is what it is today. it's like a parody of itself.
Yes.
Ray and Wilma Yoder.
Yeah.
Traveled across the country in a unique quest to visit every Cracker Barrel old country store in the country. They ate their favorite meals, meatloaf and pancakes and grilled chicken sandwiches in the most obscure places, Duncan, South Carolina, Layton, Utah, and Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
Along the way, they stopped at national landmarks like the Grand Canyon and the Statue of Liberty and local wonders like the Opryland Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Had a folded map on which they circled every Cracker Barrel they visited on the road. By 2015, they had visited more than 600 of them.
I mean...
That's what they did with retirement. Is they?
I mean, it's their lives. It's their turn on the rock. You can do what you want, live and let live, but no thanks.
I've been married 60 years.
Yeah, I bet
they have.
Good.
They had some issues. Somebody got sick. I don't know. Something happened. She's here by a miracle. Said daughter Doris Copenhaver. Yeah, anyway.
Cracker Barrel serves beer now?
Well, now you're in.
No, I'm not in. But really?
I'm trying to see how many they have left, or at this point, when the Tennessean decided to run a story on the level.
There was a point where they were everywhere, man.
The Cracker Barrels?
Yeah.
I would assume some have closed.
I would think.
We have one in Batesville and one in Tupelo, right? Those are the closest ones? I know they're the closest ones, but...
I mean...
They estimate they've driven nearly 5 million miles over the course of all their road trips.
Wow. Well, they've seen the country.
There's no way that's correct, though. That literally is impossible now that I say that. Never mind. So, Tennessee and you suck. But, I mean, do some math on that.
Beer and wine at Cracker Barrel.
Okay. Today, as they arrive, this is not today, but whenever the story was written, as they arrive in Portland, Oregon to visit the very last Cracker Barrel on their list, they will have called on all 645 in 44 states.
Wow. That's commitment.
They will sit in their familiar rockers, play the iconic peg game, enjoy a cozy fire, and order a cider float. Mm. It's not on the menu, but the kitchen will normally make it anyway, Ray says. It's especially good with fall apples.
There you go.
Violin.
Yeah. So.
All right, we started with Mike Bianco. We end with the Yoders in Portland, Oregon, visiting their Cracker Barrel. So appreciate everybody stopping in. Even you, Chet, love you every single day. And we will... talk to you.
Wow, that felt mean.
I'm playing with him. He's always here. I'm just we got to build a barb a little bit. It's all right. So appreciate that. Coverage of anything that happens at rebelgrove.com. Hopefully the results of Gunnar Hoagland's MRI.
Stone and Moscato.
Yeah. He's Stone and Moscato. That's it's the right. One wine you do judge somebody, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Sorry.
You're at the table and they get a Moscato and go, hold on.
Yeah.
I got questions.
So many.
So you hate alcohol. Yeah.
So can I offer you some maple syrup?
Can I get maple syrup and a shot of Tito's? Yeah, I'm going to combine this real quick. We're going to go from there. All right. All right, wine and more on tomorrow's show. 1 o'clock start time for that. So, again, any coverage, rebelgrove.com. Enjoyed it. Have a good day. Talk to you tomorrow.